kids are going to go to Disney World.
Yeah.
That's the one that's out toward the east. Have y'all ever seen anybody on TV that was more stupid than that Gavin Newsom? I wonder what kind of people could vote him into office. I mean, you know what I'm telling you? I mean, I realize and know that, hey, you could take it, get on my blind side and sneak up on me once, but twice? Oh, yeah, no. Take your Bible, if you will. We're going to be looking tonight in the book of John. Let me see if I can get this button here turned on. How about that? In the book of John, St. John, chapter number 4, chapter 3, the last passage there in chapter 3. You find the place you're able to stand. We'll look there in that chapter and all that business there. All right? In John, St. John, chapter number 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Now, Father, bless your word to every heart. We do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. We thank you and praise you, thou art God. Beside thee, there's none else. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. It's our heart's desire and prayer unto thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight about he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Now, let me tell you, there's not another way and another name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than that of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, there obviously, even while he was here upon the face of this earth, there was a lot of controversy about who he was and about what he could do and so forth and on. I want to tell you who he is. He's the Son of the living God. Let me tell you what he can do. He can save you from the uttermost of the, from the guttermost of the uttermost if you'll come as an empty-handed beggar, by him. That's the same chapter there that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Obviously, that in this chapter here, there are those that were having trouble with that. He said the reason they're having trouble with it because that men love darkness rather than light. Do you know, he gives the example there about the woman whenever she comes to the well, and he's sitting there and he's waiting on her. Let me tell you, I can remember when God was waiting on me to come forward. And if you can't remember that, I'm hoping one of these days soon that you will. Because real conversion, buddy, happens the same way in that time as it does right now. Let me tell you right now is it'll put forth the same effort. It'll put forth the same power. It'll put forth the same change in your heart and your life when God finds you. You know, you're here tonight, and I know pretty much everybody here. Some of you I've known a long time, and some of you I've known before you even got into the world. We prayed for most of you before you ever got born into the world. We prayed for you since you've been born again. We're praying for those of you that need to be and want to be and ought to be born again. I just said all that to be able to say this. Same way that John 3:16 put it out. But the reason people don't come and the reason they don't get born again, I don't want to talk about it. This woman here that's over there, the woman at the well, do you know the first thing she needed to do was she needed to talk about who she was and about what she needed. Now, it's no wonder she didn't want to talk about him because she had already been married 4 times and now was just shacking up out of wedlock with a man. And boy, let me tell you, when Jesus Christ began to talk, and by the way, that's how it really happens, is that Jesus Christ is going to have to begin to talk with you. I can tell you right now, before Jesus got a hold of my heart, I thought, well, you know, I don't really want to talk about it right now. Well, he was ready to talk about it. And let me tell you right now, he talked about it morning, noon, and night. He's talking about it when I'd lay down in the bed at night, whenever I'd wake up in the morning. Jesus began a conversation in my heart and in my soul, and I couldn't get rid of it. I guarantee you, anybody else that wanted to try to begin a conversation about this matter of spirituality, you could get away from them, but you won't get away from the Holy Spirit of the Lord. He'll just keep pounding on you. And he'll keep, well, is it you again, Lord? What's going on here? Don't you have somebody else you could pick on? That woman at the well, I bet she had a lot of questions. Now, obviously, she was, as the story goes, was ashamed to be able to go to the well, and so she would wait till closer to noontime when it was hot and it was inconvenient for her, and maybe other people wouldn't show up there because she was trying to get away from the feeling guilty about her past life. I got to tell you right now, something you'd better remember. I don't care how far down in the gutter your life was, buddy, it can be set on the solid rock and you can be able to walk with Jesus Christ and fellowship with Him the rest of your life. Amen. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that if you're ever going to be saved, or when you got saved, I should say, because most of you probably know the Lord, but let me tell you what happened is that when you got born into the family of God, it was Jesus that began the conversation in you. And I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this here, what a wonderful day that was. You know, it was not time to be able to hang your head and all that business there. But the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to find out that He's been waiting for you and He's been watching for you. He's been working on you, if you will, please. And He's wanting to do something and can do something that'll be lasting for all eternity down in your heart. You know, I was thinking about in this subject that we're looking at, though your sins, the Bible said, Isaiah chapter 1, about verse number 18, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Amen. I was looking at that and showing myself as I looked into that passage, is that, you know, here's a woman that she doesn't want anybody to know her. But here's the Lord Jesus, knew exactly who she was. He knew exactly how she was living, knew exactly what she was doing. I got to tell you right now, sinners need to talk about their condition and what they need in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I got to tell you right now, people need to know that they're not saved. And then people need to know how they can get saved. And let me tell you what a wonderful day that is to be able to come to know Him in the free pardon of sin. You know, real conversion happens the same way to everybody. And as a result of that, you'll find it'll have the same effect on everybody. It'll produce the same effect on everybody when you come to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. Now, I want you to notice that this woman, being a half Jew and half Gentile, she's a Samaritan. And they don't like Jews, buddy, didn't like them. They didn't like Jews for the most part. And when Jesus said, give me a drink, that's only one of two times that He asked for a drink. One of them was when He's on the cross, and he got it neither time. He got water neither time to refresh Him. But here's a woman here, and as a result of that, she said, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Why are you asking a drink of water from me? Boy, talk about a sassy old gal. I bet you any one of the four of her husbands she had, plus the shack-up job she had, could tell you, hey, this is a mouthy old gal, let me tell you right now. Now, she didn't know who the Lord Jesus was. She didn't know. And she probably didn't even care. But you'll find out that He knew about her, all about her. He knew about her present, past, and future. And let me tell you, is that He asked this question here, you know, to that lady. And about verse number 9, let's look at it. Then saith the woman unto the Samaria unto Him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, whenever a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And I got to tell you something. That in verse number 10, she's about to discover the greatest thing that you could ever hear, and that is the gift of God that brings eternal life and that'll wash you from your sins. Now, here's what He goes on and tells her, and it says something to the effect that if you drink this water, you're going to be thirsty again sooner or later. Sometime you're going to be thirsty again. But if you ask water of the gift that I can give you from God, it'll quench your thirst from now on. And you know what she said? Quick, give me this water. Boy, that's the kind of soul winning you'd like to be able to run upon, but it's not done yet. When her there. She wanted to be able to not have to come there and get those little snide remarks heard. Didn't want to be able to look and see how she is living among them other women and them gossiping and talking. And I don't know if any of them were Baptists or not, but if they were, don't you know they got over there and snuck around and talked about her and her four husbands that she had and the shack up job she had right now. And she said, quick, give me this water so that I don't have to come here anymore and draw. And you know what Jesus did? I tell you what, he's the smartest man I've ever heard of. He's God incarnate in human flesh. And you know what he said? All right, call your husband. Before the Lord ever saved me, I had to face who I was. You had to face who you are. See? And she says, I don't have a husband. And he said, you've had, four husbands? Is that what he said? Look there, if you will, please. They're in that chapter there. And let's see here. Let's look at this in verse 15. The woman said unto him, sir, give me the water that I thirst not, neither come here. And Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. Been married five times, now just living out of wedlock. That's kind of where America's at. I wouldn't beat you up about it one way or the other and make no mistake about it. But here's a woman that the idea that's given here, that you'll never have peace with God, you'll never be saved by the grace of God until you face you're a sinner before God. It's that very simple. In this lesson here that you're looking at, you'll find out the Lord Jesus, what a compassionate person that he is, what a compassionate Lord and Savior that he is. You know, here he is wanting to forgive her. She's wanting to fight him. He's wanting to show her the gift of God and the grace of God and point her to living water that she might be have everlasting life. Let me tell you right now, is you're going to find out she's looking at only the physical standpoint, but God wants to give her something more valuable than earthly water that comes from a well. I want you to notice, if you will, please, in this lesson here, she's been living, no doubt, in desperation. Do you know, if you ever get desperate and God brings you to the end of yourself and you go to living in desperation, that's a good thing. Because, see, you're happy with too many other things, too many other people, too many other opportunities. You're too happy with all of that to ever want to come to him as an empty-handed beggar. But when you get to where you're desperate, nothing satisfies. And boy, let me tell you, nothing's going to satisfy until you come to know him in the free pardon of sin. She was a woman that was desperate. She was a woman living in a delusion, that if you will. She was a woman that was disappointed at what she was and who she had and so forth and on. I got to tell you right now, the Lord finally gained her confidence as he talked to her and showed her her need, and he began to reach into her conscience. Do you know this woman there, whenever he said, call thy husband, he's pointing out to her she needed to repent of the way she's living. Look how you've been living. Five husbands, now just living out of wedlock. You're gonna have to do something, young lady. You're going to have to be sorry for your sin. You're going to have to come to a place as an empty-handed beggar to be washed by the blood, born into the family of God. In this lesson here, you'll look at that she's about to experience the greatest thing she's ever going to have, and that is life everlasting and to be born into the family of God. I was thinking about, you know, in this lesson here, is that it's good to be able to know him and to be freed from bondage of sin, of self, of Satan, if you will, please. I remember used to whenever I'd lay down in the bed at night, boy, when God was on my heart, and I thought, my Lord, we're both tired, aren't we? Shouldn't we take a nap and go? I've got to get up early in the morning. Holy Ghost of God won't care what you got going when he gets on your heart and on your life. See? In this lesson here, you'll find she experienced a conversion, and she got born into the family of God. Now, let me tell you, when you get saved, same thing will happen to you that happened to her. You know what it was? There's a change manifested. You know, in verse number 28 and 29, you'll find she went into the city and said, come see a man that that's told me all I ever did. Is this not the Christ? I was listening to a fellow, a preacher over there years ago in Louisiana. And of course, you know, he wanted to get to where he was too technical and a hair splitter and all of that. And he lost the joy of the whole passage. He said, well, now, wait a minute. That ain't the way you get saved. And then he went to casting a lot of doubt. Just hush. Just shut up. How about just enjoying what God did for this woman? How about enjoying what God's done for you in your heart and your soul? How about quit trying to split a hair that's unsplittable? In this lesson here you're looking at is that she went in there and all those men that she used to be with, some of them, verse 39, believe because of her saying. And there's some of them that believed and got saved because they believed the word of the Lord that came there and spoke to their heart. I want to tell you something. She had a testimony that other people could see. I don't know about you, but I'm glad it's that way. See? Have you ever talked to somebody, you know, about their need for Christ? And as a result of that, you'll find out is that they had absolutely nothing you could tell, nothing you could see, nothing you could rejoice in. But when you finally met somebody that really knew the Lord and God began to, his spirit with your spirit, bear witness with it, you could tell there was a change that had taken place in that life. I was looking at these many of these boys and girls. I never try to make one of them lost. I never try to make one of them talk them into being saved. And the reason being is it's going to take the Holy One of Israel. It's going to take the Holy Ghost of God to knock on your heart and to make a difference in your heart and your life. I got to tell you right up front is that that's the way it always has been. That's the way it is tonight. That's the way it will be on tomorrow. It's good to be saved and to know the Lord. No need to worry about and to have a controversy over what must I do to be saved. It's made very simple in the blessed word of the Lord. He that believeth on the Son of the living God, he that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ, hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not, he'll afford you that privilege. But he that believeth not, the wrath of God abides on him and they'll not see life. I wonder tonight, do you know him in the free pardon of sin? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed as we pray. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon